Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to play for you on tape. Ruth, that house across the street, does it have any special significance for you?
Yes, it was in that house that I learned that there was another woman in my husband's life.
The girl you hear is not an actress. She's an ordinary person like you or me. The interviewer is our field reporter, Martin Weldon. The story is not the kind that makes the newspapers or magazines, but is the kind you will recognize as one that has touched your family or friends or even yourself. This is Ruth Kern's personal story, as she tells it in her own words. This is Martin Weldon. We believe that the most absorbing experiences of our time, the most moving, the most meaningful, are not those created by the writers of fiction. They are those lived by you, the people of America, in your everyday lives, in your homes, where you work. And we believe that these experiences are best told by you, the people who live them, told in your own words. The story you are about to hear has no actors. There are no scripts. All the voices you hear will be real. All the events you will hear are real and will be told by the actual people who lived them. The National Broadcasting Company is proud to bring you this new type of program, this new style of personal reporting, made actually by you, the members of the audience, and told in your own words. Now, speaking for NBC, here is Martin Weldon.
We are tape recording from a street in Philadelphia. It is a poor section of the city. Between the stores, garages, and places of business are old, run-down apartment houses. The block is crowded with cars and trucks and people. Standing next to me here is Ruth Kearns. This is her second chance story. It was on this block that an important part of it was played out. Ruth, just what does that house across the street represent to you?
At the beginning, it meant a lot of happiness for my husband, Charlie, and me. When we first moved in, it was in a small three-room apartment. We moved here because the rent was very cheap, but it didn't bother us because we felt we had a good future ahead of us. We worked hard making it clean, making it nice, making it pleasant for us to live in. And for a while, it was wonderful for us all.
So you say, Ruth, it was pleasant in the beginning. And then what happened?
Well, after a while, my husband Charlie found it pretty hard to find the kind of work he wanted. He was unemployed for a while, and then when he was employed, it didn't last long. First thing you know, we began to quarrel, to find fault with one another. And one day it all came to a head.
What happened?
Well, on that day, I found out that there was another woman in my husband's life.
How did you find out, Ruth?
One day my father-in-law came to visit us. And after a while, he and my husband Charlie went into another room. They were talking for a while, and suddenly I heard their voices raised, and my father-in-law crying hysterically. He was saying, how could you do such a thing? How can you do this to yourself and to the family and to us? How can you be running around with another woman at a time like this?
Did Charlie admit that this accusation of his father was true?
No, he neither confirmed it or denied it. He just set his jaw stubbornly, and he wouldn't say another word.
In order to find out what events had brought about this crisis in the lives of this young married couple, Ruth and Charlie, we went back into their past. We went back to the time just before their marriage. We talked to people who had definite ideas about whether this was a good match or a bad one. We talked to Ruth's father. He's a small man, quiet but emotional, well past middle age. He works as a clerk in a large office. During his lunch break, we talked in the office stockroom. He remembered.
I didn't want them to get married. I thought they were too young. I told Ruthie that, but she didn't listen to me. And on top of that, he didn't have a steady job, no trade. How could they make a living? I thought they were in love with each other, but I just think they're too young to get married. I told that to Ruthie, but she wouldn't listen to me. They never listened to me.
There was opposition to Charlie, but none of it seemed to affect Ruth very much. Ruth, just what attracted you to Charlie?
Well, he was fun to be with. He was exciting. He danced well. He made me laugh. We had fun together. He was a dreamer, and I like that in a man, especially in Charlie. I guess I just loved him.
Charlie Kearns was the object of criticism, and he was the object of love. We talked to him about this period in his life with Ruth and their impending marriage. He said,
Ruth's mother and father, I believe, didn't particularly approve of me, but I think most of the resistance was on the part of Ruth's sister. I really believe she didn't want me as a brother-in-law at all.
Charlie, what do you think made Ruth's sister resent you?
I felt that Ruth's sister didn't like me because she believed that Ruth could probably have married somebody who, well, had more stature or was better off economically than I was. As you know, I, at the time of marriage, was not doing well at all and did not have very much to look forward to.
To include another essential detail of the story of Ruth Kearns, I went to see her sister Betty in California. Betty, married today to a young theatrical executive, objected from the very start to her sister's marrying Charlie Stone.
Ruth has always been a very impulsive and impetuous individual, and a very enthusiastic one, whereas it did her a great deal of good in her school and working activities. I felt that this particular characteristic would not help her in her marriage.
Well, what made you feel so strongly against Charlie? What did you think was wrong with him?
He was arrogant, lazy, suspicious, envious.
Well, why don't you think Ruth was able to recognize this in Charlie?
I think perhaps she was in love with love and wanted to be married more for the sake of being married than she was in love with Charlie.
Perhaps that was it. Perhaps Ruth Kearns was in love with love, in love with the idea and the ideal more than the man. Few of us always completely understand the motives that drive us on.
I dreamed of a little house in the suburbs, saving money, building a life. I dreamed of having a baby, being happy. I was very much in love with Charlie.
And so, despite the objections of some members of Ruth's family, Ruth and Charlie made their plans to marry.
And my family was wonderful. Despite the fact that they didn't have much money, once they had given us their blessing, they wanted to do this wedding upright. And they really went all out.
And so the plans were made, the invitations sent out. Joel Clark, a close friend of the couple, was one of those invited. Today, Joel Clark is a prosperous attorney. We met to talk at a place near his office in downtown New York.
Knew Charlie a long time. We grew up together, kind of lived in the same block, and we were very good friends. And I met Ruthie when he started to go around with her, and she seemed like a nice girl, and Charlie was a good friend of mine, and they got along very well, and they seemed, you know, to like each other a lot, and I thought they were very much in love, so I didn't see anything wrong in getting married so young. I really thought, you know, they'd have a good chance.
So Ruth Kearns had at least one ally, at least one friend who believed unreservedly in Charlie Stone. Well, those are exciting days in a girl's life. The days just before her wedding. The bridal shower, the last-minute shopping, the planning, the dreaming. But into those days, for Ruth Kearns, fell a shadow.
About a week before the wedding, Charlie called me at my office one afternoon, told me that he had to see me right away. He came over in about a half hour, and I could see by the expression on his face that something drastic must have happened. When I questioned him, he said he had just lost his job. Of course, I was bewildered, unhappy. I didn't know what to do, what to say. And we went to a restaurant, had some coffee, and we decided that we would go ahead with our plans and that we wouldn't tell anyone about his losing his job.
And then, finally, came the day of the wedding. Instead of the wedding being a happy, joyous occasion, it had little barbs of distress and of foreboding. Ruth's sister, Betty, told me.
I remember helping Ruth to dress and looking into the mirror and seeing this radiant, shining face and wondering how long she would remain this way. And I didn't hesitate to voice my thoughts even at this last moment. I remember saying to her, Ruth, it isn't too late yet. You can change your mind. It would be a great deal easier to stop this marriage rather than to end it at a later date. Ruth looked at me. How could I ever think of such a thing? How could I even mention such a thing at this very late hour?
How did you feel, Ruth, after you thought you'd made your peace with your family, when you kept meeting opposition like that the very morning of the wedding?
It only intensified my resistance to them. Maybe I got stubborn, I don't know. I know I was really mad when George, my brother-in-law, Betty's husband, told me how he felt.
While in California, we went to Ruth's brother-in-law, George, to find out from him, in his own words, how he felt about Charlie. George is a successful executive in the business world. His office is large and imposing. His speech is forthright. And with it, he pulls no punches.
It was amazing how blind Ruth could be with Charlie. I don't believe he ever lost his job. I believe that he took advantage of a situation. He really went on a honeymoon. He gave the job up, just like he gave up most everything. He could not stick to any situation very long.
Certainly the road to this marriage was being paved with question marks. Had Charlie really lost his job, or had he, as George believed, irresponsibly chucked it? Was Ruth's faith in the man she had selected to marry to be confirmed, or were the instincts of her father and mother and sister to prove sound? In any case, how would the youngsters support themselves with Charlie out of a job? Whatever the immediate steps, we know one thing, that these are some of the events which eventually brought Ruth and Charlie up to a point in their lives where Charlie is accused of having an affair with another woman, an accusation he mysteriously neither confirms nor denies. Tomorrow, we will continue with the story of Ruth Kearns, a true and documented story told in her own words. Actors in the story you just heard. There were no scripts. All the voices were real. All the events you heard about were real and told by the actual people who lived them. Tomorrow, Ruth Kearns' personal story continues. The National Broadcasting Company is proud to bring you this new type of program, this new style of personal reporting. Actually recorded by you members of the audience and told in your own words.